a new week and still no new stimulus plan.
Not all trillion-dollar stimulus packages are created equal in terms of their effect on the economy.
As Democrats set a deadline for a deal, we'll talk to our chief economics commentator about the impact new money could bring. Plus, China's economy is on the rebound. We'll look at one of the sectors providing strength. And the race to take time off before the end of the year. Expert advice about your vacation days. It's Monday, October 19th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is what's news. New numbers show China's GDP expanded by 4.9% in the third quarter compared to a year ago. That's short of expectations, but stands in contrast to economies in the West that are still struggling during the pandemic. Manufacturing is a strong point, as our China bureau chief Jonathan Cheng explains.
What we really saw was, because China was the first country to suffer from the coronavirus and the first country to bounce back, it managed to have a lot of what the world needed in terms of producing things. And so while the rest of the world was still shutting down and was still in lockdown mode, China had emerged already and had started reopening a lot of its factories. So it got a lot of orders because it was the only game in town if you were looking to make a lot of stuff. So because of that, China was able to increase its market share globally of exports. A lot of it was medical equipment, fabrics, textiles, but also higher end stuff like computer equipment because a lot of people were switching to work from home.
We're exclusively reporting that China has issued warnings to U.S. officials that it may detain Americans. This is in response to the Justice Department's prosecution of several Chinese academics affiliated with the military. The State Department declined to address China's alleged threats. Neither China's embassy in Washington nor its Ministry of Foreign Affairs responded to requests for comment. We're entering the most intense days of the 2020 campaign, and candidates are visiting battleground states. Joe Biden spent part of the weekend in North Carolina.
I'm running as a proud Democrat, but I will govern as an American president. No red states, no blue states, just the United States.
President Trump campaigned in Nevada.
If you vote for Biden, he will surrender your jobs to China. He will surrender your future to the virus. He's going to lock down. This guy wants to lock down.
President Trump and Joe Biden are scheduled to meet for a final debate Thursday night in Nashville. We're reporting exclusively that a top White House official recently traveled to Syria for talks with the Assad regime. The trip marks the first known high-level talks between the U.S. and Syria in more than a decade. U.S. officials are hoping a deal would lead to the return of several Americans who have been missing in Syria for years. IBM reports its quarterly results today, kicking off a big week for tech companies. As we've talked a lot about on the podcast, it's been a record-breaking year for tech stocks, and the growth isn't likely stopping, as our markets editor Quinton Webb explains.
Tech stocks now account for nearly 40% of the market value of the entire S&P 500. That puts them on track to surpass the high point reached in 1999 at the height of the dot-com bubble. So there is, if you like, a certain amount of fear about mean reversion, this idea that what comes up must come down and that the market is increasingly under the influence of a very small number of very large companies. We should say, though, you know, that by some measures, this rally is more kind of fundamentally based than what we saw in 1999. Many of the big tech stocks are very profitable. And the pandemic has, of course, accelerated the shift to an era of kind of digitalization and more working from home. And in an era of very low interest rates, you know, investors are looking for growth at almost any cost. And the tech sector is probably the best source of that growth.
Just ahead, as Washington lawmakers try once again to come up with a new stimulus package, it's a good time to check in on the current state of our economy during the pandemic. We'll talk to our chief economics commentator after the break. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi set a deadline for the White House, calling on the administration to show it's serious about another coronavirus relief package by tonight. Pelosi spoke with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin over the weekend. They're expected to talk again today. Those two are not quite on the same page, and it's also unclear whether enough GOP senators would back a large package. From airlines to apartment renters, a stimulus package is seen as a way to help lessen the economic strain of the pandemic. Let's bring in our chief economics commentator, Greg Ipp, who's been looking at the impact of previous stimulus measures. Hi there, Greg. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Greg, as we've discussed before, the stimulus is a financial bridge of sorts to help the economy get over this weak spot. Now that we have seen a lapse in funding, does this mean the economy or the recovery will get even worse?
I don't think that the economy is going to slide back into recession, certainly nothing like the contraction we experienced in April, May. The greater implication is likely that the recovery going forward from here, it's just going to be much more of a slog. The unemployment peaked at around 14% in the spring. It's now below 8%. That number would almost certainly have been higher without the trillions of dollars that Congress and the Trump administration agreed to in stimulus and relief over the summertime. But it's still a very high unemployment rate, you know, near the peak that we experienced in the last recession. And we're at the point where we have two things holding back the economy. With infection still rising, we cannot fully reopen, certainly places like restaurants and large gatherings. And the people who've lost their jobs don't have new jobs to go back to because a lot of folks are running out of money. A new stimulus package would help on the second factor there and ensure that people still have funds to spend so long as there are places to spend the money.
If and when this funding is restored, would it also be used to perhaps make up for losses? Would it take time for there to be an impact, or is there a quick, immediate benefit?
There will be a quick, immediate benefit. In fact, we saw that in the April-May period as the stimulus checks started flowing, as the unemployment insurance bonus payments started flowing. We could see that the spending by people who are most constrained outperformed that of other people. For example, if you look at spending at budget hotels versus luxury business hotels, budget hotels did better because those were the kinds of establishments catering to lower income people, those who are much more dependent on the checks. So if we can get another round of stimulus checks out the door, which we probably could within a few weeks of passing a deal, if we could start refilling unemployment insurance benefits, which again, we could do very quickly, I think you would start to see that showing up in things like retail sales and consumer spending within a matter of weeks.
When we look at these stimulus packages, there's obviously this headline-grabbing issue of price tag, but there's also the issue of allocation. Is one more important than the other?
Very much so. Not all trillion-dollar stimulus packages are created equal in terms of their effect on the economy. For example, the stimulus checks go to almost everybody, including people who are on very low incomes and really need the money, and people who are on very high incomes and don't really need the money. And we have seen that a lot of that stimulus money went into people's savings accounts and wasn't spent. By contrast, if that money was going to the unemployed, those are people who are very often living hand-to-mouth, and that money will flow into the economy very quickly. Another aspect, for example, testing. The two sides are trying to come to an agreement on how much money to spend on testing for the coronavirus and who should get it. They're both agreed that there should be money, but whereas the Republicans prefer that that money simply go to states without any guidance on how to spend it, Democrats would prefer that there be a national program. One of the issues we've had to date is that the Congress has appropriated money for things like this, but the states haven't spent the money because they don't really have a good means or a plan in place to use it. If that money were actually part and parcel of a federal plan, you'd probably see it go out the door faster.
And finally, Greg, as we saw over the summer months, it was big news when the EU agreed to a package of its own. Do these stimulus packages work better when the rest of the world is following suit, or is this just about managing the economy and the challenges in your own country?
These stimulus packages mostly are important for their own country. So how the U.S. performs will mostly depend on the stimulus that the U.S. enacts, plus its own success at getting the virus under control. And the same goes for the European Union. But there's a little bit of sort of synergy between them in the following sense, that we are big trading partners of each other. So some U.S. stimulus money will be spent on imports. That's good for the European economy, but it kind of like leaks out some of the support for the U.S. Conversely, if the European Union stimulates its economy, some of that money will be spent on imports from the United States. So all else equal, stimulus enacted by all these governments around the world will have the effect of a more broad-based global uplift.
That was our chief economics commentator, Greg Ipp. And finally, you may have gotten an email or talked with your manager about unused vacation time. Not all jobs let people carry it over into next year. But in the pandemic, taking days off isn't so simple. With COVID-19 restrictions, heading out of town is complicated. We talked to some legal experts about your rights when it comes to unused vacation days. Some things to keep in mind. The laws regarding vacation time can vary by state and even by city or county, and you may be working remotely from another place. As one labor lawyer told us, it comes down to shades of generosity. Apart from knowing your company's rules and the law, good communication is important in finding solutions that work for management and workers alike. For more on your rights and how to talk to your boss about unused vacation, we have a full guide on WSJ.com. That's what's news for Monday morning. We're back tonight with a new show. If you like us, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.